it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ski and welcome in to another winning edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a man who loves that beat. This man next to me is your vice mayor, occasionally known as your thunderstick, Jesse Friedman. And what a win. What a cathartic win that the Diamondbacks achieved tonight against the Cincinnati Reds, winning the game by a count of 6-2. Diamondbacks now have won two games in a row. Reds, yes. Meanwhile, continue to have their struggles. So, of course, not to get too high on beating up a team that's lost six in a row now, but the Diamondbacks needed a win like this, just a thorough victory where they kind of had everything working tonight, bullpen, starting pitching, and the offense. Everybody got going tonight.
Yeah, and it really started with Zach Gallen in his return. This was a big game coming back off of that hamstring issue that he had a couple of weeks ago against the Mariners. The Diamondbacks were planning to just get him right back in there and not have him take a day, take a game off because of the bee incident. They wound up giving him that day off anyway, which is a little bit odd, but he comes back today off. And he threw six scoreless innings, Derek. And we were talking about it during the game. This was not a particularly dominant performance from Zach Gallen, at least like from the eye test. But also, you look at the box score, the man, six innings, one hit, no runs, three walks, six strikeouts. It's hard not to call that a dominant performance. And, you know, sometimes Gallen just does that where maybe he doesn't have his best stuff, but he just kind of goes out there and shoves anyway. And it came at a really good time today for the Diamondbacks.
It did. The Diamondbacks needed a game like this. They needed an outing like this from Zach. He gave them the length. He could have gone longer, but it wasn't necessary once the
Probably
Diamondbacks were up essentially 6-0 by the time he exited the game. And the Diamondbacks, of course, their offense got going. And a big part of the offense tonight was Corbin Carroll getting going. We've said at times that this team really does go the way of Corbin Carroll, Gabby Moreno, and a few other guys. And, of course, tonight, Corbin Carroll finally got things rolling in the right direction a bit. Gabby, speaking of which, he was off due to an illness.
Yes.
So he shouldn't miss too much time. Hopefully, according to Torey Lovullo, he'll be back in the lineup tomorrow. Corbin tonight, though, again, just big night.
Yeah, this was the Corbin Carroll game, Derek. And been waiting for a Corbin Carroll game
for quite a while.
Carroll had five RBI in this game for the Diamondbacks, including their first five RBI of the game, right? Every time they scored up until Ketel Marte's homer that went back-to-back with Corbin in the seventh inning, every run the Diamondbacks scored was because of Corbin himself. And this was also the game where he returned to the leadoff spot. We've seen him in the 7-hole and the 8-hole of the lineup for a good while now, but Torey Lovullo has liked what he's seen from Corbin in his at-bats recently. He did have two hits in their game on Sunday, had enough faith to bring Corbin back up to the leadoff spot, and Corbin certainly rewarded that today with the game that he had, 2-for-5,
Absolutely.
5 RBI, including that home run, a really big day all the way around.
And for that reason, Corbin Carroll is absolutely our king snake of the game for tonight's game. I mean, it's still a 2-for-5 night, right? But it's just an important step, and that's what we've seen Corbin Carroll doing, is we've seen him making steps in the right direction, even when he wasn't having success. He was still getting better at bats as the season progressed, and I think tonight's game is huge for him just to kind of get that first extra base hit since, what did you say it was?
This was his first, that homer was his first extra base hit since, I believe, April 30th, which is about a week ago, but it was his second extra base hit since April 10th, which is almost a month ago at this point. So, yeah, the base hits that Corbin has had over these last few weeks, almost all of them have been singles, but you saw some slug. That was a big swing out to center field. That was sort of the big blow of the game, right? I mean, it was still very much a game up to that point.
It was
2-0. The D-backs were in control, but from what we've seen from this bullpen this year, a 2-0 lead certainly does not really feel safe at the end of the game. Corbin delivering that 3-run shot is really what put this game out of reach for all intents and purposes, especially given how the Reds offense has rolled lately. It's they've had their struggles.
Cattell gets his 7th home run of the year. It is his 18th RBI of the year. And Cattell just continues to roll for this team. He has been the constant. He is hitting .303 with an .891 OPS.
Yeah.
And again, he added to it tonight. There's a few other guys that are still struggling. And of course, this team kind of goes the way sometimes that, you know, again, someone like Corbin Carroll goes, and tonight was a big step offensively in the right direction. Of course, the Diamondbacks also win 2 games in a row. That seems like a big deal. They win their first game one since opening day. I believe it's 11 or 12 series now in a row where they did not win game one of the series. So
that's wild.
That's, I think, and that's what's important about tonight, right? Is like tonight was an important game for Corbin and the team to kind of get past some of those weird, you know, struggles that they've had so far early in the season, and hopefully put some of this behind them where they can, you know, start winning some game ones and start putting themselves in a position to not only win the series early, but potentially sweep the series.
It's really hard to win a series if you lose the first game every time, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of the way it is. If it's a 3-game series, you gotta win the next two. That's the only way to pull that off. And the Diamondbacks they've lost 2 out of 3 in almost every series they've played this season, right? They took 3 out of 4 from the Rockies to open the year. They did beat the Rockies 2 out of 3 the following week. They took 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals at one point. Outside of that, the Diamondbacks have lost 2 out of 3 in every single series, with, I guess, the other exception being that they split with the Giants in San Francisco. But it's been rough. They just have not been able to really string together any kind of consistency in any capacity. I mean, I guess the starting pitching has sort of held up more or less throughout the season. But especially offensively, they were very, very good at the beginning of the season, and it's fallen off dramatically here in the last couple of weeks. Today was certainly a nice bounce back in that regard.
Elise in the chat says Saturday was the low point. We're on the upswing now. Saturday was not a low point for me. Saturday was an absolute high point for me.
Saturday was the day that we met Elise.
That we met Elise.
So
exactly.
It was anything but a low point.
It was anything but a low point. So I want to say it may have been more of us as a community coming together on Saturday that rallied the Diamondbacks. Sure, it didn't take...
rally the Diamondbacks that in that night, game. That's for sure.
And that she's right. That might have felt like a low point, but our togetherness provided enough magic, I think, for the Diamondbacks to feel the energy and turn things around, because since we were all together, if you don't want to count that game, the Diamondbacks haven't lost. So that's the direction that I'm going to go in.
Yeah.
You know, again, maybe if we would have gotten together earlier, maybe if we would have all met on Friday, we could have prevented Saturday from happening. Who knows? But what I do know is that the Diamondbacks were able to survive Vic Carpaz's strike zone tonight, because holy crap, bad night for the home plate umpire at times and on both sides of the ball. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Diamondbacks ended up getting more calls their way than the Reds even did, because Zach Gallen was getting some calls out of the strike zone on strikeouts that were fairly egregious. But of course, we do want to give a shout out to the return of the one and only Paul Sewald, who not only was reinstated from the 15-day IL prior to today's game, but he did pitch today. It wasn't a perfect outing. He did give up a home run, but what a perfect scenario to have him return under. We know that, like, when he first joined the team, he had his share of struggles before getting it locked in back when they traded for him. And of course, tonight, again, not a perfect outing. He does give up that home run, but still just great for Paul Sewald to be back. It feels feels right. It feels good. He came into the stadium looking like an absolute beast tonight, wearing the Jordan shirt. I think do we have that, David?
Yeah, we have. I mean, we're about to have it in a second. I really wish we went to it in segment three, Derek.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we were supposed to go do it in segment three. My bad. I jumped ahead. My fault. I was just talking about Paul Sewald today. I'm a terrible host. You guys all know that. But Paul Sewald again. It was the perfect opportunity for him to come up and at least get this kind of soft landing.
Yeah.
Before, his outings can truly matter, because with the way this game was going at one point, giving up that one home run might have been a big deal.
That's a great point. Yeah. I mean, and Torrey said it before this game started that if this had been a safe situation, if the Diamondbacks had a one run lead in the ninth inning, like Torrey was ready to use Paul Sewald in that situation. He's the closer of this team. That's what his role has always been. And Torrey wasn't going to back off that just because this was Sewald's, first game back from injury. So he was ready to throw him in that spot. But it does seem like a good thing that the Diamondbacks were able to put Paul Sewald in a lower stress environment. Still the ninth inning, but with a 5-run lead. And yes, Sewald did give up that home run. But it didn't matter very much because it made a 5-run lead, a 4-run lead. Sewald was still able to work out of the inning, and it wasn't a perfect inning. Otherwise, I think he got some other outs on some. There was a high sweeper that he got a ground out. There was maybe a pop up, and then there was a sweeper right down the middle that I think somebody rolled over. So his command maybe wasn't perfect, but getting Paul Sewald back on this team is so crucially important. He was really such an enormous part of what this Diamondbacks team did toward the end of last year. The bullpen narrative of the 2023 Diamondbacks shifted almost immediately once Paul Sewald was acquired. The impact there is enormous. And even though this wasn't a perfect day for him, just getting him back, not only the guy he is on the field, but the guy he is off the field, has always felt really significant to this team as well. A really big day for the Diamondbacks just because Paul Sewald is finally back.
And J.A. makes a great point about McCarthy. McCarthy does seem like the McCarthy of old right now. Jake McCarthy is hitting over 300. He got the scoring started early. He got that walk and eventually scored a run. And, I mean, he did it getting going on a hit and run there, where Tucker Barnhart was able to move him over. And, again, there were some elements there in the first inning that we saw with Jake, where it very much reminded us of what this team was able to do with their speed, putting the pressure on the opposition. It very much felt like the starting pitcher tonight for the Reds knew exactly what was going to go on once Jake McCarthy got on base. And it seemed like it threw him off and allowed Tucker to get that hit. Things kind of went their way once Diamondbacks got up early. But again, it was just the fact that Jake was able to find a way to get on base and find a way to impact the ballgame.
He's really been good lately. I mean, Jake McCarthy, as we stand right now, is hitting 307 with a 756 OPS. Just thinking about how Jake McCarthy has been in the leadoff spot for a decent portion of the last couple of weeks, like, that's not necessarily something we saw coming going into the year. Granted, Corbin's struggles are a big part of why McCarthy landed there, but it's hard to say he didn't kind of deserve it in some ways. I mean, hitting over 300 and getting on base as much as he has, I still think there's more to prove there. I still would maybe like to see it over the course of a longer period of time before I'd say, this is the second half 2022 Jake McCarthy once again. But I think we all have understood for a while that if Jake is like the fourth outfielder on your team, he's a pretty good fourth outfielder.
He's a great option.
What he brings on the base pass, he's a solid, outfield defender as well. And when he's able to wreak havoc and lay down bunts, as we've seen in recent days, and just find ways to get on base at a decent clip, he's a really valuable player.
He also reminds me of Alek Thomas in the fact that he makes plays look very simple. That, yeah, they might seem simple watching them as a spectator, but he really does do a good job of tracking the ball well and finding a direct route to it. Yeah. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, see Pavin Smith playing right field sometimes. So, but
there's a difference between seeing Jake and Pavin play right field.
A little bit,
There's a difference.
But of course, the really good thing here is Corbin Carroll getting going. Of course, we talked about a low point for this team. We talked about a low point for us as fans being on Saturday night, but it very much felt like Corbin Carroll had hit a low point. And this was him discussing his hitting struggles and what he's kind of been going through this season.
I snapped out of that funk last August by swinging at everything. So it doesn't feel like the answer this time. To be honest, like, just, there've been some mechanical things that, you know, been trying to address, and I feel like are headed in the right direction, and our coaches feel like are headed in the right direction. I made my swing too flat, and so it's been a lot of work to try and create better attack angles and better vertical batting.
That is a man that is absolutely frustrated with everything going on, has analyzed it, maybe even understands it, and still doesn't know how to fix it. But what we've seen has been much better at bats compared to his struggles early on in the season. And I feel like, again, a night like tonight can build so much confidence for someone like Corbin, who it really feels like that's kind of what he's lacking right now more than anything, is just confidence, belief in himself.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did some research on this. You hear Corbin had never been this specific about what was kind of going on with him mechanically, right? That's a question that we've been trying to get answered for quite a while. And generally speaking, Corbin doesn't love talking about those kinds of things. And you can understand why. Like, he doesn't want, other teams already have so much information. They already know so much. And he doesn't want to help them out and give them more information than they would already have. So Corbin, generally speaking, doesn't get into ultra specifics with the media on that kind of stuff. But he did hear. He basically just straight up said, my swing got too flat. And it's been a lot of work to try to fix that. And you heard there, he sounded like things were trending in a positive direction. But me, of course, being the baseball nerd that I am, I had to find some data, Derek. I had to find some objective data that confirmed what Corbin was saying, that his swing was indeed too flat. And courtesy of Swing Graphs, which is a website that I discovered in the last few days, it's behind a paywall, but you can actually get swing path data, which is something that's not available on StatCast, at least not publicly. But they have swing path data on Swing Graphs. And I looked up, this is called the, let me drop it here real quick. I did pay for this. Yeah. So this is the vertical bat angle. That is what this statistic is called. And it's basically just a measure of the steepness of your swing. So is your swing flat, or do you have like more of an uppercut swing, like we see pretty frequently? Well, you know, a lot of power hitters tend to have that. Corbin already had one of the flatter swings in baseball last year. But I looked it up, Derek, and Corbin Carroll had, according to this website, the flattest swing in baseball by a pretty considerable margin. Corbin Carroll was at, I believe this is measured in degrees. If I can scroll all the way to the bottom of the list here, so I have to go to page 5.
Which it would make sense why he's struggling so much with a high fastball.
Exactly. Yeah, a flat swing, it would make it hard to get to a pitch up in the zone. Because you'd have to start your swing like very, very high in order to get to a pitch like that, if you don't have kind of that uppercut element to reach a pitch like that. So yeah, they have him at 20.8 degrees. And the next lowest number for a hitter that has like enough data here is Johan Rojas of the Phillies at 22.5.
Oh my God.
So he was, yeah. And this generally ranges from like 20 to like 35, something like that. So yeah, Corbin was sort of like an extreme outlier on the lower end here. So what he was saying about a swing getting too flat is 150% confirmed by this website that I found. You're talking about the flattest swing in all of baseball. And this data is current as of April 30th. So he very well might have made some changes in the last week or so. Maybe this has trended in a better direction. I'm sort of led to believe it has, given the results that he had in this game, the results that he had on Sunday. But yeah, I was pretty struck by that. I figured I'd look this up and he'd be maybe on the lower end, but he was literally the lowest of players that have enough data in this website. It was pretty incredible.
Well, I think we have that image of him being back. I think this is Paul Sewald being back. No, that's That's gross. What is that?
What just happened?
Is that Corbin? That's unsettling. Oh, Tall Corbin. Yeah, no, Tall Corbin's no. That's weird. I don't. Can we have the other one? No, it's fine. You don't have to give me it. I don't want the other. There's the real Paul Seawall. Man, I don't ever want, like, burn that other image with fire, please. But speaking of fire, and speaking of clothing, I have some clothing related issues to
settle. Speaking of burning too.
Speaking of burning, I'm going to throw a little shade. Can we maybe throw a little shade at Fanatics for what they did to Kevin Newman today? Damon, can you give me the fire beat and some intro and something crazy going on, because I need to throw some shade. All right, he's going to take this one off. This one's on me now. Fanatics, Nike, what the hell are we doing? I didn't want to even discuss any jersey-related items with you anymore. I didn't want to talk to you about this. I was done. Jesse's done. We were done with this. But then I feel obligated to speak on behalf of Kevin Newman, who is a professional Major League Baseball player and did not deserve what you did to him today. Damon, do we have the footage? Throw the footage up there. Where's his piping? Where is this man's piping? As if these gray drab road jerseys weren't boring enough, this almost blends into his skin tone. Where is the man's piping? This is egregious, and I know it's just a detail. I know it's something small, but can we really not get everybody on the team the same jersey? Can everybody not have all the same details? Can we not be a connected and dangerous team without the piping? We can't be. Kevin Newman deserves better than that. That's all I got. I don't feel like being this angry after a win, especially two in a row, but get your shit together, Nike or Fanatics or whoever is to blame. It's one of you. But anyway, all right, yeah, let's go ahead and get that back. All right. Well, of course, we throw shade around here on behalf of our friends at Shady Rays. And if you want to throw shade and look good while you're doing it, make sure to get down with some Shady Rays sunglasses. Of course, these are quality shades that are built to last, and they have the craziest lost and broken replacement plan in all of eyewear. We've been talking about it for a very long time. Of course, if you lose or break your Shady Rays, even on day one, they have told us that they will replace them for you. No questions asked. No shade thrown your way. They will just send you out a brand new pair. Of course, if you don't love your shades, you can exchange them for a new pair or return worry-free within 30 days. There's no risk at all when you shop. Their team always has your back with personal and fast support. But you know what? My Shady Rays are my favorite sunglasses. And of course, I did lose them at one point, and they didn't ask me any questions when they got me a new pair. Did I pick out a new pair? No, I got the exact same pair. The folks at Shady Rays just wanted to give me a credit. And they were just like, yeah, if you want to pick out a new pair, I was like, no, I want the exact same ones I got. So make sure to check them out exclusively for our listeners. Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code PHNX for 35% off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. And again, if you live in Arizona, you need yourself a pair of polarized sunglasses. It's a must. So yeah. Also, we thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, maybe do so now. Maybe we implore you to do so now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our wonderful shows go live. You can also drop us a like. Gabby loves when you do that, even when he's not feeling great, even when he's under the weather, he's still going to stop.
It would help him feel better.
Actually. Yeah. If you drop him a like, Gabby will, it's like penicillin kind of for Gabby and whatever he has. But of course, if you're listening on the audio podcasting side, you didn't see Gabby stop by, but we assure you he's here. You can also leave us a review. We love that. Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite audio podcasting app as well. Also, right now, you can get down on the Grand Slam jackpot over at BetMGM. It's a great time to do so. Great time to bet on a player to hit a home run. Maybe we're feeling a little bit better about putting some money on Corbin Carroll. I don't know if I'm there yet. But with the Grand Slam jackpot promotion, you can place a $10 or more wager on any player to hit a home run every weekend. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If the player hits a Grand Slam on that day, you can win up to $50,000 in a daily prize or a share of that prize with every other winning bettor. Great opportunity to make yourself a little money on a home run and maybe even a whole lot of money on a grand slam. Right now, of course, if you're a new user, you can download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android or visit visit betmgm.com and sign up using our bonus code of PHNX. When you do and you deposit $10 into your account and bet that much or more on your first wager, you will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your bet loses. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Again, sign up for BetMGM and use that bonus code of PHNX. Place your first sportsbook wager through the Sportsbook mobile app for at least $10. You'll receive $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Well, Jesse, it's time to work the count. And we know a few guys on this team that haven't been working the count, but we're going to work the count of this game presented by Desert Financial Credit Union. Diamondbacks end up coming out on top 6-2. They out-hit the Reds 8-3. Diamondbacks went 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position while the Reds went 0-for-2. Each team had two dingers where the Diamondbacks were a little bit more relevant. And then, of course, neither team hit the ball very hard in this game. Jesse, is weather to blame with an imminent tornado bearing down? In Cincinnati,
that was a little unnerving.
They're just casually playing a baseball game.
Start a baseball game like in the middle of a tornado. That doesn't seem right. Not maybe as much hard contact on the D-back side as you would have expected, but when you hit a couple of big home runs, you don't necessarily need a whole lot of that. What really stands out to me most about this, Derek, is that the Diamondbacks scored 6 runs. Which is like a normal number of runs for a winning team to score.
They didn't go crazy or barely win.
Because on Sunday, that game still felt a little sketchy because it was like, all right, they scored 11 runs. They blew out the Padres. But we'd seen this movie before.
Absolutely.
Right? The Diamondbacks, absolutely.
They
love themselves a good blowout win, right?
Yeah.
It's scoring 5, 6, 7 runs, something like that we haven't seen a lot from this team of this year, and the Diamondbacks were able to do that. They didn't feel the need to score the 14 runs today. They just scored 6, and it was more than enough. And we'll see if this offense can be more consistent in the coming days. That's really the key, is finding a way to consistently put up 5, 6 runs a game. That's really how this team is going to get on a nice run.
I feel if you want to be a pessimist about this game, you could say, yes, it's the Reds who have been struggling. They came in losing 5 in a row. So
yeah,
they really shouldn't get too high on this win, which is fair. But at the same time, it's the Diamondbacks needed to win a game like this. They needed to win against a team that they should beat. And they needed to win in a scenario like this on a game one where they can just kind of put, you know, some of these struggles so far behind them and maybe look to beat up on some of the teams that they can beat up on right now that are struggling. You never know, looking ahead in the schedule, who those teams are going to be. But the Diamondbacks play the Reds an awful lot right now. In fact, they play 6 games against them over the next week. So
basically,
it's a great time for the Reds to be struggling and for the Diamondbacks to try to do everything they can to capitalize on getting these wins against a struggling team, right? Not only can it help them get going, but it can obviously help when it matters down the road, because this Reds team is still very good. And, you know, again, just like the Diamondbacks struggles, it doesn't always make sense. A lot of the guys on their team are not hitting very well. I think Elly De La Cruz, and maybe Corbin seeing Elly De La Cruz across the diamond from him, made him step his game up a little bit tonight. I don't know. He's been doing well, but there are a couple of guys for the Diamondbacks that still need to get going.
There are, yes. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. continues to, you know, be right at the top, kind of right in the middle of the Diamondbacks lineup, and is really going through it. He came in a 2-for-33 skid in his last 8 games. No walks in that span, 5 strikeouts, 3 double play balls. Today, he was 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. Lourdes Gurriel has a 663 OPS on the season.
Gross.
Which is not what you're looking for from him, and, you know, nor is that what you're looking for from a guy who's been hitting second or third, I believe, the entire season. I don't think D-backs have put Gurriel anywhere else in the lineup. So they really need him to get going at some point. And then the other guy we've talked about recently for sure is Gino Suarez. He came in on a 6-for-41 skid in his last 11 games, 15 strikeouts in that span. And today he was also 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts, and his OPS for the season is now below 600. Gino has a 598 OPS on the year. Last year, the Diamondbacks from the third base position had a 644 OPS. So as of this moment, Derek, Gino Suarez on paper has actually not been an upgrade for the Diamondbacks at third base. As we kind of took that as being obvious going into the season, right? Like even if you don't get Gino bouncing back to his former self and being, you know, a 30 homer guy, at the very least, he would be an upgrade over what the D-backs got at third base last year. So far, he really has not been that.
Both guys might be putting too much pressure on themselves, especially considering Lourdes resigns with the team and stays here. Gino comes in and is supposed to be that answer at third base. Yeah. But one guy that is not putting, who is absolutely not putting that pressure on himself, is Jock Peterson, who has a 925 OPS. The man is hitting 295 and should be probably above 300 because, like tonight, when Jock Peterson struck out, he was absolutely right about that strike three not being a strike. Jock just seems to be a very effective hitter. Not at all the type of hitter I thought we were going to get out of him, but just a very effective hitter. If things aren't going the team's way, Jock will get on base via a walk, via a single, via whatever he needs to do. I mean, we're not seeing the power out of Peterson, I think, like the Diamondbacks kind of needed from some of their free agent acquisitions. But the man has a 925 OPS. Like, he is just contributing in many ways. And I'm still kind of surprised at the fact that he's such a well-rounded hitter for this team and not just that power guy that they were bringing in as a DH.
100%. Yeah, Jock Peterson is not a power only hitter. I mean, this season I think we all would be in agreement that Ketel Marte has been the most valuable position player on this team
by far.
But Jock Peterson, man, I mean, I know it's a platoon situation. He's mainly just facing righties, but he has a 412 on base percentage. That'll play. Like,
that'll
even
play.
If you're a strong side platoon, like, you're doing enough damage there against righties that it kind of makes up for you not being much of a factor against lefties. So at some point, we'll revisit all of the different DH candidates that we discussed over the offseason and kind of compare all of them and see where they stack up.
JD Martinez is out here not hitting balls, but hitting people's arms. So I'm
apparently,
glad that
I don't know if that was really JD Martinez's fault. Hopefully Wilson Contreras is. I don't know if he's really okay.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
he's
going to be.
It's a forearm fracture.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
like he's not really okay. Hopefully he's able to get back soon. That was a scary moment. But
Tim brings up an interesting point, but I feel like he singles out Jock too much. He said Jock's not clutch at all. Right now, I don't really think many people on this team are clutch. That's my honest opinion.
Jock's not clutch. Let's see. Runners in scoring position, he's 1-for-13.
Yeah.
So
goes the whole goddamn team. Yeah. I mean, Jesus. I mean, this team right now, that's been the biggest problem. It hasn't been their ability to get on base. It hasn't been their ability at times to get hits. It's getting timely hits. It's getting hits in high leverage situations. It's not allowing leads to slip away. I mean, we've seen this team kind of be all over the place. Like, I don't know what the hell to expect out of this team on any given night, to be honest. Tonight was a pleasant surprise. But, I mean, again, this feels more like tonight's victory felt more like the team that this team is, that we know they are. It's more of some of these losses. It's the mistakes. It's the way things have gone for this team just have gone completely haywire, whether they were leading or you know, the game was close or whatever the case may be. It just feels like this team doesn't have that ability to, you know, just settle in, even though things might not be going their way in any given inning or in any given game, and just try to rebound and get their, you know, their production going, get their offense going, get, you know, a bullpen pitcher in here that can, you know, slow things up, right? Like, there is definitely a lot of things that have gone wrong for this team. That might be in the past, probably not, but at least for the, you know, last two games, they've been moving, just like Corbin Carroll has been moving in the right direction. This team as a whole has been moving in the right direction. Tonight's win was fairly complete, though. I mean,
it was.
The bullpen gave up a couple of you know, solo home runs. And yes, you could argue if this game was closer, those might have been more of a catastrophe. You could also argue if this game was closer, Zach Gallen probably would have stayed in longer, and Ryan Thompson probably would have come in, and things could have gone completely differently, right? So for the most part, it felt like everybody did their job. Offense produced. Zach Gallen was good on the mound. And this is, you know, as good of a Diamondbacks win as I think we've gotten this year without the gigantic blowouts that seemed ridiculous and silly.
You think Corbin is back? What does your heart tell you, Derek? Is he going to be 860 OPS the rest of the way? Like, about the first month.
I think Corbin is still going to struggle, but I think Corbin is going to be more consistent than what we've seen. And I feel like we already saw him moving in this direction. So a game like tonight isn't that much of a surprise. We've talked about watching his BP. We've talked about seeing him do some of the things that he's done on the field and kind of just have some bad luck, you know, getting some of those balls caught at Chase Field that you then look up the metrics and see that it would have been a home run in 17 out of 30 ballparks and things like that, right? So, you know, again, things are going his way. I'm not ready to get overly excited about a 2-for-5 night. I understand the 5 RBI is important. I understand him being, you know, involved in the majority of the production of the offense is important, but it's still a 2-for-5 night, you know, and again,
2-for-5 is pretty like... If you go 2-for-5 every day, I mean,
it's not terrible. I'm not saying that's terrible. I'm just saying it's a 2-for-5 night on a day. Like, it's, I yeah, still
it's
need
not
to
like
see
he
it.
Had 5 hits. It's not right. It wasn't quite that.
It
dramatic.
Wasn't him He's in my still, game yesterday on MLB The Show 24 where I went 4-for-5 with him with 2 home runs. That was way better. Now
that's,
you do that,
the
and
standard.
We're talking.
That's the standard that's that, the that standard. Corbin has to reach before Derek is really going to buy in. Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, Corbin, like, his first at bat of the game, still wasn't great. He popped up in foul territory. How many times have we seen that over this rough stretch? And his last at bat of this game, he struck out on 3 pitches, right?
Yeah.
So I'm with you that we need to see more of Corbin Carroll, you know, more like this was a very good game. If he continues to have games like this, even if there's a strikeout and a pop up, like, you'll live with it if he's driving in 5 runs. But yeah, you know, he does have a little bit more to show, but it's so clear just the impact that Corbin has when Corbin Carroll is hitting like the Corbin Carroll that we've known for basically his entire major league tenure. The lineup just makes so much more sense. Like
if Corbin Carroll goes 0-for-5 tonight or 0-for-4 tonight, the Diamondbacks lose. Right? I mean, 2-1. Without his 5 RBI, the Diamondbacks lose 2-1. I'm just saying that based on the way that the numbers are. I know obviously the game would have been much different, but if Corbin Carroll struggled tonight, if he went 0-4, if he had one of those nights and does not bring in 5 RBI, who knows the way that this game goes, right? So
it just adds so much depth to the lineup. Like when you can have Corbin doing Corbin things and Cattell has been so consistent this year. We talked about Lourdes' struggles. There are maybe some concerns there, although Lourdes is so streaky and, you know, you feel like he'll probably be, maybe he'll have a miserable May and then he'll win the Player of the Month award in June. Like, that's just sort of how Lourdes tends to roll. There's going to be some ups and downs, but Walker has been pretty consistent this year. Jock, as we discussed earlier, has been good. You just need to really stack together like 4 or 5 hitters at the top of the lineup that can consistently... Yeah. Give you some offensive production, and we haven't really seen that yet this year outside of the first maybe few days of the season. You know, it's felt like, okay, Cattell and Lourdes are going, but Walker's struggling, and, you know, guys have kind of taken turns. But there's a world in which this offense can be pretty good if you get some of these guys kind of clicking at the same time.
Beatrice Birdman just burst in here and said, "Why the hell aren't you showing the Phoenix Mercury game, you dumbasses?"
Wow.
It's because we don't have the rights to
if we wouldn't
show it,
if we wouldn't get Beatrice? Sued for doing so.
Oh, I'd absolutely be on board. do you think a Mercury game isn't going to get more views than this face?
Those are
screaming
some,
about Fanatics jerseys.
Those
We're
are some
on board,
big
Beatrice.
Words from Beatrice there.
Yeah,
big no, tough words.
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, she's at least 2 of us are dumbasses in this room, and it's probably not this guy. But anyway, of course, we thank you guys again for for being here. We thank Desert Financial Credit Union for sponsoring the count. And of course, for more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union, dedicated to creating exceptional experiences by giving back to the community and providing financial solutions that make lives better. They've made my life better. They got me started on my home ownership journey, and it's the best thing I think I ever did, especially with the way things have gone here with housing stuff. So, of course, they can help you out as well. They are financial experts who are committed to their members and to the community. So check out all that they have to offer, including checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and so much more. When you open a free checking account online, you can get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. Also, gas prices, they're all over the place right now. I saw some crazy high gas prices, but of course, Circle K has our back because Circle K was much cheaper. And that was just the standard price. That was just the regular old price on the sign. But if you join the Inner Circle for free by downloading the Circle K app today, you can save 25 cents off per gallon on your first five Phillips. Of course, terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details. You'll also save 3 cents off per gallon every day after that. You'll get a variety of coupons in the app for you to save all sorts of money on that. You'll get a buy five, get a 6-1 free on a selection of Circle K products like pizza, coffee, and ice cold fountain drinks, and so much more. So make sure to check out Circle K and everything they have to offer. It is America's thirst stop.
Me and Damon know everything about Circle K. How great what? It is. How affordable.
We went out of our way well.
To go to a Circle K?
To go to our Circle K. Yeah. For those of you who do not know, me and Jesse partook on a little road trip yesterday.
Yeah. Absolutely did.
It was a boys' trip, some people would say.
Yeah.
And we didn't invite Derek because, that's as we've said many times on the show, we don't do that.
We don't really want to hang out with Derek.
I was like, boys, it's a day off with me and the missus. I got stuff to do, like remodeling a bathroom.
So right now I'm getting it. It's 2-1. And that Jesse and Damon are saying that we didn't invite Derek. And Derek is trying to tell the audience, the great people watching of this program, the 112 of you watching, please drop a like.
Please. If all of you drop a like, we'll show the Mercury game.
That's not true.
It's absolutely not true. But shut up, Jesse. You don't have to tell them that.
But yes, Damon, I think we all know what's happening here.
No, I'm just trying to move on.
Derek was not invited to the road trip.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Derek is very jealous.
Nah, I got text messages that say otherwise.
The whole thing.
I'll show them to all of you.
He's really trying to convince all of you. I'll put them all on Twitter later.
Photoshop exists, Derek.
Whatever, but that's fine. We don't have to go through all this. They wanted me to come very much. I refuse to be in a car with these guys for longer. Look, we have a set amount of hours per week where we're supposed to be around each other, and I'm supposed to like be with them extra outside of that,
especially when
that's
you stop
crazy.
A connected team is a dangerous team.
It is true. That's true.
Outside
Jesse.
Of the 100 hours we spend together a week here in this office, that's insane.
A connected team is a dangerous team, and I want to be a dangerous team. What do you want to do to get there?
They came back from Sedona, and both of them wanted to kick me off the podcast. That's how connected we are as a podcast.
Some of us are connected.
Well, because me and Jesse are feeling pretty pretty good after coming back.
We're moving on now because we have roster news to discuss, and that's more important than your stupid road trip that you took.
Let's just end it off by saying we went out of our way to go to a Circle K, not by much, just by a little bit, just because we knew Circle K best gas. Best, snacks and stuff inside. What a place.
It was like 370, too.
Yeah, the diss track is coming, Ryan. Don't worry. I'm going to work on that tonight. But, of course, the Diamondbacks did reinstate Paul Sewald from the 15-day IL prior to today's game. The corresponding move was to option Scott McGuff to Reno.
Yes.
So just take, if you guys want to take a moment, we'll just allow you to have your time. Scott McGuff going to Reno is interesting considering that he had to accept that option. Is that how that works?
I don't know. That kind of was what I had in my head because, Scott McGuff isn't a totally normal situation where he was just like drafted, brought up in the minor leagues, came up, had some options that he didn't use and just pitched in the majors for a long time. He, of course, went overseas, pitched in Japan, came back, signed with the Diamondbacks. And as far as we are aware, Scott McGuff had minor league options remaining. According to Fangraphs, he had 2 minor league options remaining entering this season. So as long as his contract didn't interfere with that or change those details at all, this appears to be just a totally normal send out where he didn't have a choice. The D-backs just decided that they were sending him out. That's at least how it appears to me. So the D-backs made it. I mean, this is still a big decision for them. McGuff was the Diamondbacks' closer for a portion of last year and actually a very good one for a while there. Yeah. You know, it had some good moments, but you look at McGuff's numbers, you know, the way he started the season, the second half of last year up until when he got hurt toward the end of the season, he's just been really rough. And the Diamondbacks got to a point where they just need him to go try to kind of figure things out elsewhere and move on with the guys that they have. And we've seen more of those sorts of decisions in the last year with the D-backs being a little more aggressive and being willing to do that kind of thing. And they went and did it. Scott McGuff is no longer on this team right now.
Well, and I think the, you know, one thing about it is the fact that it's not like he hasn't been given opportunities, especially during the Diamondback struggles there. He was given multiple opportunities. And I mean, the Diamondbacks even kind of counted on him in high leverage situations, which he kind of proved himself to not be able to handle. That's still got to be the most confusing and frustrating thing as a manager when you see a pitcher pitch. You know they have good stuff. You know that they're able to go out there and get outs, except when you send them out there when you need them the most to go out there and get outs.
Sure.
And that's what it feels like Torrey has gotten back in return from, you know, a few of the relievers in the bullpen. Unfortunately, they just didn't have any other option. You know, and now with Paul Sewald coming back, some of the bodies coming back, and also with the organization turning to some of the young arms in the minor league system, it does feel like they would rather give somebody that is unproven an opportunity
for sure,
rather than trying to give guys that they've given multiple opportunities to and have not come through for them yet another opportunity, right? So that's where we're at with Scott McGuff. It'll be interesting to see how his career with the Diamondbacks go and if the Diamondbacks look to bring him back at some point. I'm sure there'll be a need at some point, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him go down to Reno and shove and then possibly be called upon again.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, yeah, there, like I said earlier, there have been times where McGuff was a pretty big part of this bullpen and actually was like legitimately effective. I mean, his strikeout rate was pretty high last year. It wasn't that he couldn't strike anyone out, although this year his strikeout rate has fallen significantly. He just has to be able to command his pitches. And it feels like every time Scott McGuff has entered a game this year, he's just spraying the four-seamer kind of all over the place. And his splitter, which he tends to have kind of inconsistent feel for, that splitter, it only plays if the fastball is being located well.
Right.
That's what's really going to make the splitter more effective. And McGuff's command has just been all over the place pretty much the entire year. And the result is, you know, 16 innings, 18 hits, 15 runs this year, same number of walks as strikeouts. It's been really bad. And this felt like the move that the D-backs probably should make. And they went out and they did it.
There is possibly a command issue amongst the Diamondbacks pitchers. Like at times that really feel, we talked about that with Zach Gallen tonight. Frankie Montas was absolutely dealing to start tonight's game. I mean, he was hitting 99 miles per hour. He was hitting his corners.
I don't know what happened to Frankie Montas in the first inning of this game.
Right. I don't either. Like, that was so not him, but that's what the Diamondbacks were dealing with. And it felt like another, like, oh shit, here we go again situation with the Diamondbacks being up against a guy who was shoving and throwing faster than he's ever thrown and locating. But, you know, Zach Gallen was able to stay consistent. And again, this was a night that really went the Diamondbacks' way in every possible way, except for one piece of news when it comes to roster news, and that's the fact that Alek Thomas was not part of this announcement, which we were counting on. We thought Alek Thomas was indeed going to be reinstated, as Torey Lovullo had said already, by this series with the Reds. And instead, it sounds like he may have re-aggravated his hamstring injury and has come back to Phoenix from Reno for further testing.
It's not great, Derek. It's not great.
It's not great, Jesse. You're goddamn right.
We've seen a little bit of this, right? I mean, E-Rod with a pretty significant setback. Paul Sewald did have something of a setback, although it wound up that he was fine and seems like he was just sort of worried about something that he didn't actually need to be worried about, and his oblique was healed and everything wound up being okay. But,
well, and I know Cattell didn't miss time like this, but Cattell had a hamstring problem that kind of kept coming back
festered too, for a while, for sure. So I don't know if I want to say like the D-backs have totally mismanaged all of these guys coming off the IL. I don't know if that's totally fair. They've been very open about mismanaging the E-Rod situation. I think that one's pretty clear. We'll kind of wait and see what the report is on Alek Thomas. There's still a chance that Alek Thomas has, you know, they do re-imaging, which I think is going to happen. They're going to have him do another MRI. Maybe that MRI comes back fine and Alek Thomas just misses a few more days and comes back for the Baltimore series or something like that. But if there actually is some significant re-aggravation here where he has to kind of not start from the beginning, but get close to starting from the beginning, that would be a really big development and not a particularly good one for the D-backs when it comes to their methodology for getting these guys back from injury, because it's been pretty rough so far.
I think we have some super chats there, Damon. Would you mind pulling those up real fast? Thank you to Andrew Dang. He said, been a while. God bless you guys. We missed you. Thank you for being back. He said, any updates on Perdomo? I don't think we've heard anything good or bad. We know that Perdomo was kind of, as far as the injuries go, due to him having surgery, he was the one that was kind of on a set timetable relatively. Like it's a little bit more black and white with Perdomo's time than, let's say, some of the pitchers right now.
Yeah, Perdomo is, Torey said that he was getting close to full baseball activities. This is, I believe, about 3 days ago. You might only be maybe a few weeks away from Perdomo returning at this point. We don't have much specifics beyond that.
What do you think about that over there, guy?
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
We're back, baby. This is Diamondbacks baseball.
That's how we get him back on board, is to get Perdomo back in the lineup. BCOM, see clearly, thank you for your super chat. He said, I gave Corbin the now he's good. I've been told
from that one, Derek.
I've been told not to ask about that, but we appreciate your super chat. Thank you so much. Of course, the reason why I tend to move on from things is, of course, you know I lie. Damon lies a lot. Jesse, every once in a while he lies. But you know what doesn't lie is JJ, first of all, because he's a stuffed snake. He can't lie. And the numbers. The numbers absolutely don't lie. Jesse, what do you have for the numbers for this game?
Yeah, today's number is zero.
Is that a number? Yeah, I guess.
Zero is a number, Derek. Okay. I was a math teacher 2 years ago, all right?
Let's not go down that road,
all right? So there were four home runs hit in this baseball game, Derek. Two for the Diamondbacks and two for the Cincinnati Reds. And zero represents the number of home runs that there would have been in this game had it been played at Chase Field instead of being played in Cincinnati, at least according to the StatCast machine that we all have come to know and love. Literally zero of the home runs that were hit today would have actually been home runs at Chase Field. And that shouldn't really come as a huge shock, because all of them were hit roughly to center field. Yeah. And we all know how impossible it is to hit a home run in Chase Field in that area. So, I mean, how different would this game have looked if all of those turn into doubles? I, I think the D-backs probably still win in that universe. I mean, the Reds were two solo shots, so they're not going to get very far with those two homers being doubles instead. The D-backs probably still come out on top. But I thought that was a pretty fascinating takeaway from this one.
That's pretty neat. Well, the Diamondbacks do send Jordan Montgomery up against Graham Ashcraft tomorrow. And then they have in the finale Slade Ciccone going up against a fairly deadly Hunter Green. So
yeah,
Diamondbacks don't have a great chance of going for the sweep, but anything could happen. And honestly, Jordan Montgomery, it would be great to see Jordan Montgomery go out there and have a nice outing like we saw to Zach Gallen. I think at that point, having those two guys go out there and just at least give the Diamondbacks a chance to win would be a very comforting sign right now for a starting rotation that has been pretty erratic.
Yeah. Jordan Montgomery getting back to the pitcher that we sort of expected him to be is really big. Obviously, his last start came in very strange set of circumstances, being the day after the B game. And Montgomery was, of course, the scheduled starter for the B game. The delay was so long that D-backs didn't want him to have to get hot again after, you know, warming up right before the game started.
Still a really weird situation.
So, yeah, very weird situation. I mean, Montgomery was... he was not going to make any kind of excuses. He didn't want to blame his poor outing against the Dodgers on the fact that he had been scratched the night before. But it's hard not to believe that might have messed up his routine a little bit. Maybe it had something to do with why his command was so off in that game. We'll see what he looks like tomorrow.
Well, of course, we will be back tomorrow with another post-game show. In fact, this is just wall-to-wall post-game show week. Yes. We are going to be giving you four post-game shows this week and then a special Mailbag Saturday episode on Saturday.
Mailbag Saturday? Are we allowed to do that?
I don't know. You know, we make the rules around here, Jesse.
Yes, we do.
We can leave the lights up through January. That's the way things work around here. but, of course, we do appreciate you guys for being here. I do want to go ahead and just squash any Mercury slander. I don't know if I started that or whatever, but the Mercury, like, let's not slander the true champions of this city, right?
The most successful franchise.
Speaking of which, we have a brand new pair of hosts for the PHNX Mercury show. Make sure to check them out. That show is delightful, informative, and I'm very excited to have two very knowledgeable people about the WNBA leading the way there. So that's going to be exciting to see that grow and that come together. So don't miss out on that. Of course, we will be back, like I said, tomorrow with our post-game show. Make sure to join us for that. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This maniac next to me is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, the people's producer, Damon Dog, is at Damon Dog. That's DAWG. We are Damon's Dogs. Bark, bark. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks, but of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you again so much for stopping by. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And in the meantime, have yourselves a wonderful night. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it is so much more fun when Corbin Carroll is hitting dingers.